Thank you, Lord. You guys ready to hear the word?
Yes.
Man, that was awesome, wasn't it?
Yes.
Hallelujah. All right, if you have your Bibles, open them to Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. We'll start with verse 12. Hallelujah. It is hot up in here. Anybody else feeling that, or is it just me? Oh, okay, all right, good. I'm not running a fever. Don't need more cowbell. Okay, some of y'all get it. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. All right. Here we go. Philippians 3, 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, say mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to this degree that we all have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. I love laughter. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's all right. Hey, we should be able to laugh in church. Amen. The joy of the Lord is our what? Come on, somebody. Yeah. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to try to press through this, all right? If you want to laugh, laugh. You want to cry, cry. Amen. Today, I want to talk about the importance of maintaining spiritual vision in our life. Spiritual vision gives us the ability to see through the storms and to keep pressing toward that goal, to complete that goal. Amen. It is what the Holy Spirit said. It is a pressing forward. If it says there's a pressing, there's going to be times there's going to be a what? Resistance. Say resistance. But he said, the Holy Ghost said, he said we need to press forward. If the Word of God is encouraging us to press forward, we need to know there might be some times when there is a little bit of a resistance. The enemy wants to stop what God is doing. Amen?
Amen?
Or at the very least, he wants us to slow down our quest to fulfill the will of God for our lives. Anybody been there before?
Yes.
You felt like you were in the will of God and all of a sudden, whoa, you just got, woo, you just got blasted. Congratulations. Because the enemy doesn't like what you're doing. Amen? It is interesting that right after Paul told the Philippians that he's pressing toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, he said these words. Don't miss it. It said, let us, Christians, as many as are mature, have this same mind, have this same attitude, or in other words, have this same thought process. Your ability to stay focused on God's plan for your life is in direct proportion to the level of your spiritual dedication and your spiritual maturity as a Christian. Amen? See, God doesn't expect us to be perfect, but he expects us to grow in maturity.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. Amen?
Amen.
Say, I gotta grow. The Holy Spirit, listen to this. So the Holy Spirit, he said this. He said, if you're otherwise minded, if you're outside of this thought process that the Holy Spirit said to have, he said, if you're otherwise minded, the Holy Spirit's job is to reveal the hindrance.
Yes.
Come on, somebody. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has good things for us, amen? And he's wanting to root out anything that would hinder us, amen? The Holy Spirit is always trying to bring us back in line to God's plan, to God's will for our life. Now, let's take a look at a church or a people, a group of people that lost its spiritual vision. Go to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation, wow, it's really easy to preach in here today. I feel good. It's going down that slide with baby oil again. Someone's putting baby oil on that slide. Woo! Thanks, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Glory. Now, in Revelation 2:1-7. Hey, I'd rather have her like this than crying. I'd rather have her that like this than in my office crying. Are you hearing me, somebody? Glory to God. I'm not offended by her laughing. I'm not. I'm just telling you that right now. Not one bit. Here we go. Revelation 2. I love it. Revelation 2:1-7. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have preserved and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, say nevertheless. I have this against you. This is Jesus doing the speaking. I don't know about you, but I have a red letter edition. That means Jesus is doing the speaking. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Now, repent, we talked about that in Faith and Healing School, Crystal did. And that means having a change of mind. It means you're going in one direction and you stop and you go in the other direction. Amen? Okay? But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now, the church at Ephesus, it says here that it left its first love. So, you know, I love it. You know, Jesus is a true leader. He talks about things that you did good, and then he's saying, okay, nevertheless, I want to deal with some things. Say things. They left their first love. Their love and zeal for Jesus grew cold. A religious system or a religious thought process took priority over a meaningful relationship with Jesus Christ. Are you following me? Here's what happened. Their spiritual vision became blurred and dim because they have failed to fan the spiritual flame in them. And that literally grieved the Holy Spirit. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. We all know this, right? The Holy Spirit is a person. He has a mind, will, and emotions. He has them all. Are you following me? So just like how we can be grieved about something, the Holy Spirit can, all right? We need to pay attention to that. All right, so we are expected to maintain our love for Jesus Christ. Can we all agree on that? Yeah. In fact, your walk with Jesus is what will allow his power to flow through you for your personal life and for the work of the ministry. So maintaining our love and zeal for Jesus, listen to this, will help us connect to the heart of God and not see situations or people just from an outward appearance, but we can look beyond that into the heart of a situation. Are you following me? Yes. Have you ever misread a situation before in your life? I have. Amen. Yes, everybody has. The people, listen to this. How about the people that wanted to kill Jesus' disciples, right? Even the enemies who wanted to kill Jesus' disciples. It says that their enemies even took knowledge that they've been with Jesus. Are you following me? All right. The people that wanted to kill Jesus' disciples, they saw and sensed the anointing on their lives. Amen? It says that the enemies, they took knowledge that they'd been with Jesus. Man, I love that. Say, took knowledge that they were been with Jesus. See, when you're anointed, it even forces your enemy to see something different on you rather than your outward appearance. Are you following me? The outcome and quality of your life as a Christian is dependent upon your ability to keep your eyes on and maintain spiritual vision that the Lord, in that vision that the Lord has put in your heart. All right? So on your ability to stay focused on you, we got to have purpose. Say purpose. The moment you lose sight of your purpose as a Christian is the moment the devil came in. Amen? Yeah. And for us corporately as a church, in every church, amen, every local church, our ability, we need to stay focused on what God is calling us to do and not get distracted from this, from making the main thing the main thing. Amen. Are you following me, somebody? Say the main thing's got to be the main thing. It is spiritual vision that motivates us to move forward with God. It is spiritual vision that allows us to pursue that future and a hope through Jesus Christ. Amen. Without it, we have a tendency, here it is, we have a tendency to get caught up and drift aimlessly. Amen. In God and on this earth, not really knowing what we're doing or where we're going. Say distractions. Say distractions have to go. Go to Proverbs 29 with me. We're refocusing today. Amen? Amen. Whatever you've been through this week, whatever junk you've been through, we're just taking this time to refocus. Amen? Amen. Proverbs 29, verse 18. And it says these words: where there is no revelation or vision, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. See, the effectiveness of your life is in direct proportion to how fresh you keep the revelation or the vision that God has given you for your life and ministry, and your ministry as a Christian, amen? You can only do that when Jesus Christ stays at the center of your life. I'm not just talking about born again, because a born again Christian can stray from that. Are you following me? It's keeping him at the very center. I want you to notice in that verse, listen to this. It talks about having no vision, and then it switches. Did you notice that switch on the second part? It switches to this: happy is he who keeps the law or the word of God. So that tells me this. You ready for this? We can draw this conclusion from that verse. Obeying the word of God will keep the revelation or the spiritual vision fresh and clear in our heart. Amen. Because you will keep the line of communication with the Holy Spirit as you keep the word of God fresh in your heart. I don't know, there's something about the author of the word of God likes when you keep the word fresh, his word fresh in your heart. He's the author, you know that, right? The Holy Spirit wrote the word of God. He just used men and women to write the words on the page. Amen. All right. So the rewards that you and I will receive in heaven, listen to this, are in direct proportion to how diligent we were to accomplish the will of God for our life in a personal sense and as a corporate sense as a local body. Amen? Amen. Do you know something? I got to give an account to every person that ever sits in my ministry as a leader. I have to give an account to every person before God one day. Did you know that? That's pretty heavy, isn't it? Amen. So, I mean, there's times where I got to make decisions at times that aren't fun, right? But my goal is this: always looking out for the sheep. My goal is always looking out that God's kingdom is being advanced. Amen. All right, so listen to this. If your success in life and ministry is directly related to how fresh you keep your spiritual vision, what area do you think the devil's going to attack us in? Our vision. Thank you. Thank you, Marianne. So nice of you to join in on that one. The devil is always trying to blur our spiritual vision on this earth. The kingdom of darkness is constantly trying to blind the minds from spiritual reality. Amen? The enemy operates on deception. There is nothing. You look, anything the enemy's ever going to do to steal, kill, and destroy operates with deception in your life. There's only one problem with deception. It's deceiving. And you don't know you're in it. That right, right? That's why sometimes pastors got to come along and kind of... Right? Hey, and sometimes someone's got to come to me and slap me in the face too. Right? Sometimes we got to slap each other in the face. Right? Hallelujah. We're a face-slapping church. You know that, don't you? All you visitors know that? Now you do. Hallelujah. But the devil operates on deception. Demons are always trying to put a despair. They're always trying to put a discouragement. They're always trying to bring a division. The demons are always trying to put a fear upon believers to get them off track spiritually. Why? Because they know the power of clear spiritual vision and purpose. The moment your purpose becomes blurry, look out. Are you hearing me, somebody? Go to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. I like that, a face slap in church. I like that. If I get thrown in jail, is someone going to bail me out? I'll just do some jail prison ministry. Does that sound good? I love it. It's good to laugh, amen? Luke 8. Luke 8. Let's look at 11 through 15 here. Glory to God. There is just a wonderful atmosphere in here today. Amen. I like it. I like it. All right, here we go. This is Jesus talking about the parable of the sower. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts. When someone comes here, they get all excited. And then they leave and they go back, live like the devil. The devil stole the seed. Are you hearing me? Stole the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root. Say root. Who believe for a while, and in a time of temptation, they fall away. Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they heard, they go out and are choked with the cares, here it is, of the cares, riches, and pleasures of life. Blurry spiritual vision. And bring no fruit, there it is, they bring no fruit to maturity. Say maturity. But the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, oh, there it is, noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Now, the word of God is referred to as a seed. Amen? So Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So the enemy is always trying to steal the seed. But listen, that word of prophecy that was spoken over you, that revelation that the Holy Spirit quickened on the inside of you, the devil tries to come immediately to test the ground where that seed was planted. There's no problem with the seed. The problem is not with the seed of God's word. The issue is this, the ground of our heart. If we have good, fertile ground, the enemy can't steal that seed. I'm talking about maintaining vision, clear spiritual vision, amen? When the enemy is successful in stealing, killing, and destroying the seed, that spiritual vision becomes blurry. Confusion, depression, discouragement all move in. The seed of the word in our heart gives us clear vision. Say clear vision. Clear vision. I mean, look at America. Look at this country. You know, judges ruling that the Ten Commandments must be removed in public places, ruling that prayer must be stopped in public school. That is nothing more than the enemy trying to steal the seed of God's word in places that have influence. Are you following me, somebody? That's nothing more than the devil. Ever since those rulings, you can look at the statistics. Evil has been on the rise ever since. America is spiritually blind right now because there's a famine of the word. There's a famine of the seed of the word. Amen? Yes. For the most part, America has lost its spiritual vision. Yes. Heck, we don't even know what bathroom to use anymore. Are you following me? When Obama was president, there was just a confusion. That's when it all entered right there, a lot of it. But when they took, you know, obviously in the 60s, you see the rise of this stuff. Wow. So the devil's trying to steal the seed out of places of influence, and we need to bring it back. Jesus is counting on us to bring it back. Are you hearing me? See, it was blurred spiritual vision that caused Elijah to run from Jezebel in fear when she threatened to kill him. He lost sight of his purpose. He lost sight of who he was in the Lord. Are you following me? When spiritual vision has been blurred or distorted, that's when men and women depart from the call of God on their life. And then they fall into sin. That's when the backsliding begins. When spiritual vision has been blurred or distorted, that, you know, Christian parents allow their children to be students of witchcraft and the occult by reading books, movies, and playing video games that all promote that stuff. Are you hearing me? When spiritual vision has been blurred or distorted, division creeps into a local church. When spiritual vision has been blurred or distorted, a local church begins to put their stamp of approval on homosexuality, abortion, transgenderism. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Listen to this. I want to read you something. This was so powerful. In a certain leadership magazine, in an article, a man describes what happens when someone loses their vision. Are you ready for this? A group of pilgrims landed on the shores of America years ago with a great vision and courage. They had come to settle to the new land. In the first year, they established a town. In the second year, they elected a town council. In the third year, the government proposed building a road 5 miles westward into the wilderness. But in the fourth year, the people tried to impeach the town council because they thought that such a road into the forest was a waste of public funds. Somehow, these forward-looking people had lost their vision. Once they were able to see across oceans, and now they could not go 5 miles into the wilderness. Are you following me? Spiritual vision. Say spiritual vision. Spiritual vision is so important. We all have the need for clear spiritual vision and focus. When we lose sight of our overall purpose and vision of what we are all about and who we represent, it becomes a work of man instead of a work of God. Amen. Why is it that such foundational doctrines in the Word of God, such as healing, casting out demons, the Holy Spirit baptism, gifts of the Spirit, why are they so rejected by a lot of these mainstream denominations that once, listen, that once embraced them? Do you know that? A lot of these denominations that reject them, they once embraced it all. Because somehow the devil got in and was successful at blurring and distorting the spiritual vision of the people. Basic biblical doctrines have been and are being compromised in the name of maintaining peace or because of ignorance of God's word. A lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed because a lack of knowledge. Amen? In Matthew 10:34, Jesus said that he did not come to bring peace to the world. You know that, right? Does everybody know that in here? Let me just tell you. If you don't know, I'm telling you. Jesus did not come to bring peace to the world. It said he came to give us believers a sword to separate truth from error. Are you following me, somebody? Those who are for him and those who are against him. Let's look more now about how spiritual vision grows dim, all right? The Word of God tells us in 2 Corinthians 2:11 that we are not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. And now, ignorant, it means lack of knowledge. We are not to lack knowledge of Satan's devices. Are you ready for this? Here we go. What can cause spiritual vision to grow dim? Number one, unrepentant sin causes spiritual vision to grow dim. Go to Isaiah 59 with me. Isaiah 59. I feel the Holy Ghost all over this message today. We gotta get our heads straight. We gotta start making the main thing the main thing. Amen?
Amen.
Some of us are making the something the main thing that ought not to be the main thing. Amen?
Amen.
Isaiah 59, verse 10. Look at this. It says, we grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we have no eyes. We stumble at noonday as twilight. We are as dead men in desolate places. Now, if you read that whole verse, that scripture is describing what sin does to you, spiritually speaking. It will cause spiritual blindness to come in quicker than anything. Unrepentant sin causes your spiritual vision to grow dim. Ready? Here we go. Next one. Broken relationships in the body of Christ will cause spiritual blindness. When we allow offenses from a brother or a sister in the Lord to turn to bitterness rather than dealing with it and forgiving one another, we open ourselves up to the enemy and our spiritual eyes become blind. Go to 1 John chapter 2. Let me just remind us all of something here. Remember, a pastor always preaches to himself as well. You know that, right? A pastor's always a pastor is not above the law. He's still under it. Are you hearing me? Here we go. 1 John 2, 9 through 11. If you don't know where 1 John is, it's before 2 John, that helps you. Hope that helped. Now, I love that one. All right, 1 John 2, 9 through 11. Look at this. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling. Remember, we just read the groping, like they have no eyes. It's talking about sin. And there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know, here it is, where he's going. Because the darkness has blinded his eyes or his spiritual vision. Are you following me? You getting the point, everyone? Our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is in direct proportion to our earthly relationships. Did you know that? Our vertical relationship with God is in direct proportion to our horizontal relationship with people. Amen? That's why the scripture that says, if you come to the altar and bring a gift and you have something against your brother, take that gift and go make up with the brother before you bring that. Are you following me, somebody? So God takes this very seriously. When Saul was persecuting individuals, right? When on the road to Damascus, what did Jesus say? Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Jesus took it personally. Jesus took it personally. Saul's like, what, Lord? Saul got a revelation right there. And we need that same revelation. When we treat others wrong, Jesus takes it personally. Are you following me? The Word of God even says that our marriage is a picture of our relationship with Jesus. If your marriage is out of order, the Bible literally says that, it literally says that your prayers will be hindered. Everything in the kingdom of God, ready for this? Operates with unity. Everything operates with unity. Are you following me? Unity among each other. Here we go. Ready? What's another thing that can dim our spiritual vision? Too much focus on worldly things or the lust of the eyes will cause us a loss of spiritual vision. Go to Psalm 119. Look at this. Psalm 119. Say refocus. Refocus. We got to refocus. Because, guys, we are in a time when things are short. We are, I mean, if the end times were a clock, we're at 11:59. Are you hearing me, somebody? Yes. Psalm 119, 37. We can't get caught up in petty stuff. We got to make the main thing. Amen? Here we go. Psalm 119, 37. It says, turn away my eyes. Here we go. From looking at worthless things. Wow, that's powerful. That struck a chord in my spirit. And revive me in your way. My goodness. That was powerful. That scripture tells us that looking or focusing on worthless things will cause our spiritual fire to go out. At that point, we need to be spiritually revived. Amen? And the only way to be spiritually revived is to take our eyes off of worthless things. Say worthless things. Because worthless things, our focus on worthless things will suck the spiritual life right out of you. Are you following me?
Yes.
That's what the enemy wants. Let's just give you a rule of thumb. Whatever the enemy wants, do the opposite.
Yes.
Whatever makes the devil mad, do it. Whatever makes God happy, do it.
Yes.
Come on, somebody. Adam and Eve, listen to this. Adam and Eve chose that which was pleasing to the natural eye rather than protecting their spiritual eyes by obeying God's command not to eat from the forbidden tree. In Genesis, listen to this one. In Genesis 13, Lot made a decision to go into a land, to build a house, to live that was pleasant to his natural eye. Are you following me? He did not consult God. He did not seek God for direction. He was going by what he saw. Big mistake. And the result of that was spiritual blindness and brought much pain to him and his family. Guys, I'm telling you, whatever we do, we need to seek God first. Amen?
Amen.
Parents, you need to understand that your spiritual vision sets the spiritual temperature for your whole family. Your failure to make God first will open the door to the enemy to your children. All right, next, here we go. This is a big one that many Christians trip right into from the enemy. Focusing on your past will cause your spiritual eyes to grow dim. Spiritual vision is for the present and future only, not for the past. Listen to this. Lot and his family were told not to look back when leaving Sodom, or that person would be turned into a pillar of salt. Lot's wife could not let go of the past to reach for the future, and it cost her her life. She turned into a pillar of salt. When God says be the salt of the earth, that's not what he's talking about. You following me? She was a little salty there. That's too salty. Amen? But she could not let go of the past. When God calls you out of something, don't look back. Come on, somebody. So what's the moral of the story? First of all, number one, here we go. Obey God no matter the temptation. It will always be worth it to obey God. Amen? Secondly, focusing on your past will always kill your future. Focusing on your past will always kill your future. That's why emotional healing ministry is so important, because some people are just stuck. You know, when you're stuck in the snow, you're stuck in mud, you need someone to come along with a big truck and pull you out. That's what the Holy Ghost wants to do. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. Here we go. Listen to this. Finally, the last thing. The most important ingredient to maintaining spiritual vision is this: to maintain communion and fellowship with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The moment that drops, you just lost your lifeline on this earth. The Holy Spirit is the only part of the Godhead that is on this earth right now to help you and I. Amen? Go to John 16. John 16. You can never overemphasize our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Well, you talk about the Holy Spirit all the time. Yeah, he's the only one living with us to help us in this mess we're living in. You better overemphasize him. Come on, somebody. Someone better overemphasize him. So John 16, 13. Look at this. Jesus said these words. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth.
Yes.
That means he's going to deliver us from all deception. For he will not speak on his own authority, But whatever he hears, he will speak. Whatever the Father speaking to you, the Holy Spirit plays telephone and passes it on to you. That's why when you're hearing from the Holy Ghost, you're hearing from heaven. Are you hearing me? Are you following me? And he will tell you, or the King James says, he will show you things to come. He will guide us. The Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. I like that word guide. I like that word guide because we as Christians are supposed to live on that narrow road. Amen?
Amen.
It's kind of like flying when you're shooting an ILS approach. Man, you hope that thing's working because it's guiding us in. When you're in the clouds and you can't see anything, you're hoping that that those instruments are working. The Holy Spirit is the ILS approach for life. And keeps you on the center line of the runway in the will of God. So he will guide you into all truth on that narrow road. In other words, that lie that you are holding on to in your life, thinking that you will be blessed while holding unrepentant sin, is confronted with truth, compliments of the Holy Ghost. That lie that you hold on to with hate and bitterness, resentment in your heart toward another person, and you still think you're okay, You're confronted with truth, compliments of the Holy Spirit. He is our helper. He's not the condemner. He's the helper. Amen? Let him help you. You cannot and will not go wrong if you will maintain fellowship with him. With a humble and teachable heart. We all need a teachable and humble heart. Amen? All the points that I just mentioned today in this message are constantly monitored. Listen, constantly monitored by the Holy Spirit in your life. He is our air traffic controller. Are you following me? That in air traffic control, there's a radar screen. It's monitoring the airspace. And when there's someone flying along, they say, you have someone at your 12 o'clock, 3 miles, 1,000 feet above you. You know what I'm doing in the jet? Where is this? That's pretty close. So when the Holy Spirit detects something on his radar, are you getting this? In your life that ought not to be there, you better be doing the same thing I'm doing in that seat. What's going on? I need to change direction. So there's not a collision. Are you following me? So he's constantly monitoring all these things in your life, and he will let you know if there are any problem areas in your life. We just need to respond to him and change. That's it. Amen? Amen? To maintain your relationship with him means that you're very careful and cautious not to grieve him. Remember, he loves people. Say, the Holy Spirit loves people. Be very careful and cautious not to grieve him. Sometimes his emotions comes through our emotions. Have you ever done that where you sinned, you messed up, it's like, oh, you know, and you just felt grieved? Or you know, you said something to someone and you're like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. And you feel grieved. Oh, many times, let me tell you a little secret. A lot of times that's the feeling of grief from the Holy Spirit coming through your emotions. Why? Because he that's joined to the Lord in unity is one spirit. Many times you will feel what the Holy Spirit's feeling. Amen? It means that you are ready and willing to make the needed changes in your life, and you're ready to make him feel welcome in your life. It means that you take the time to read and study the Word of God. You take the time to pray. Listen, you decorate the room of your heart with the Word of God. I found something out. If you want more of the Holy Ghost, get more of the Word on the inside of you. That's why I said this. The Holy Spirit lives in your spirit, right? Pump yourself with the Word. Decorate your spirit man with the Word. Makes the Holy Spirit feel cozy and comfortable in your life. Think about that. When you are diligent to do that, your spiritual vision will be clear. Confusion, discouragement, depression, hopelessness will not have any place to land in your life as a Christian. You will begin to see God, begin to see things how God sees things. You'll be able to feel how God feels about certain things. Amen? That's when we can truly labor together with him and each other in unity on this earth to advance his kingdom. So here's what I want to end it with, this last sentence. Are you ready for this? Do whatever it takes. to maintain a clear spiritual vision. Let's stand up in this place. I'm talking about maintaining spiritual vision. We can't get distracted with needless things. We got to make the main thing again in our life personally, in our church corporately. Amen? Now, maybe there's someone in here. You have never made Jesus Lord of your life. You need to do it today. You feel the Holy Spirit tugging on your heart right now. If you leave, the moment, if you take your last breath, if you died without making Jesus Lord of your life, it is in the lake of fire for eternity. The first stop is hell. Are you hearing me? But then it's the hell gets thrown into the lake of fire. And hell was made for the devil and his angels, not for you. But if you choose to reject Jesus' sacrifice, where he took your sin and gives you his righteousness, there's no other place for you to go but hell and the lake of fire. If you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, come on down to this altar and I want to pray with you after service. Now, maybe you need to rededicate your life to the Lord. Maybe you have very blurry spiritual vision and this message was that slap in the face from the Holy Ghost. If you want to rededicate your life, you want to get back on track with him, come to this altar, and I want to pray with you today. Just let's make things right. Amen? Maybe you've never received the Holy Spirit baptism. If you want to learn more about the Holy Spirit baptism, the power you receive to be a witness, praying in tongues, come on up here. We'll talk to you about it. Amen? Maybe you need prayer for anything else, a healing, family, whatever it is. But listen, we need to do whatever it takes to maintain clear spiritual vision. Do you receive it today? Yes. Father, I thank you for this word. I pray as the people go out, Lord God, that this word that was spoken would be engrafted on their heart. Holy Spirit, that you would show us all areas in our lives. Every area that needs to be changed, tweaked, anything that has been blurring our spiritual vision, because, Father, we just want to do your perfect will. That's why we're here. So, Lord, help us all personally, corporately, to get on track with you. And we thank you for it. Encamp every person in their vehicle with your holy angels and bless them. Meet every need for them, Lord. Lord, I love these people, and I know you love them more than I do. So, Lord, let breakthrough come into every area of their lives. And everybody said, amen. Visitors, thank you so much for coming. Grab a paper on the back. It's a new March order of events and all that. So if you need me, you know where to find me. I love you all. God bless you.